February the 16th, 10 a.m. Work session to order. We want to say a prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. Commissioner Ron Robertson, are you good with that? I did not ask you ahead of time. All right. All right. Amen. To the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. All right, so first thing on our agenda is we'll be going into closed session for General Statute 143-318.11A, 3 through 5. I'll take a motion to go into closed session. Thank you. All in favor say aye. All right, so yes, thank you for your patience, audience. We have been in closed session this under General Statute 143-318.11A, 3 through 5, and now we are back in open session. So the next thing on our agenda is approval of the Burke T. County Conflict of Interest Statement. You have a copy of this, and I'm going to turn it over to Juan so he can explain why we're doing this.
Yes. So this is a part of a grant, something that is needed for a grant that our consultant, Robin Payne, has been taking care of for. So we had a conflict of interest policy submitted a while back with some other documents, and it was a part of something that the board adopted back in 2015, but it was a part of a procurement policy that was federal. And USDA responded and said that it needs to be, we're state, and so it needs to be state. And so they sent back a template and some information in our, in the conflict of interest statement that they will approve because the previous one was rejected. And so we, Robin and I forwarded that to Jonathan, and Jonathan drafted this for us. Jonathan, is there anything you want to?
Yeah, and in looking for example conflict of interest policies, I searched, I ended up finding one basically I liked, and then I looked at the one they proposed from CAMA from the state, and it was almost exactly the same format. So I independently found basically the same format that they were proposing that they say they will accept. And I do know that, yeah, this is going to be required for the Tall Glass of Water CAMA grant. It's going to be required for, I mean, that's specifically the reason why this particular came up now. I think it's a great idea. Matter of fact, it's actually statutorily required under 153A-53 and statute 160A-86, which is mentioned at the beginning of the policy, that every county has to have a code of ethics or conflicts of interest policy in place. And I think that statute came into effect 6 or 8 years ago. So,
and you said we had one in place already, but it was stated for Fed or something?
It was geared very much, yeah, geared almost exclusively to federal projects, funding for federally funded projects. And the state said they didn't feel like they were included in that. So this doesn't talk about state projects. It doesn't talk about federal projects. It just says projects. It says, yeah. So this is something that can hopefully will last for, you know, for any project for whatever period of time.
I just had a question, John. It's just a procedural question. In my mind, I sit on two other boards, Community College and Mideast. And at every meeting, we're required to say on the record, mm-hmm. after reading the agenda, mm-hmm. that there are no conflicts. Is that a requirement somewhere? Or does this, once you agree to this, it's everybody's understood that if there's a conflict, you have to identify it. We have to do it at every meeting.
I read it for RPO every meeting.
And we don't do that.
I do it right. And I was one also.
Yeah.
I do it also. We don't do it.
I was listening in on a county I'm not even sure what, like Craven or one of the eastern counties, and they read it at their meeting. But to me, it just seems
a lot of counties say approve an agenda, and then ask if there are any conflicts in that same thing.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Right. You're taking your short answer to your question. Well, short answer, I don't know. The follow-up is when I read the statute that says you have to have a code of ethics in place. It is not, I don't recall it saying, and it must be read at the beginning of every meeting. I did not see that.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that's not a good idea, because I mean that's you're actually taking what the minimum legal requirement, and you're actually putting the rubber on the road and actually saying, here's our agenda. Does anybody have a conflict with any of this? And I think the fact that so many boards do that, I think it's probably a good idea, and I think it reminds everybody, just in case, well, if you're not thinking about it, it reminds everybody, hey, this is not just a good idea to have conflict of interest policy. It actually needs to be a living policy that everybody really says, hey, this applies to me, and it applies to me today. So I think it's a good idea.
Sure,
I wouldn't read this whole thing.
Well, and certainly having a new commissioner on board, is because we did do one a couple of years ago, I think. Mm-hmm. I think the last one. Anyway, so I think it's, we can certainly add it to our agenda just to say briefly if there's a conflict of interest,
And I think at least most places I see do it as a part of approving the agenda.
Yeah.
Approve the agenda, and are there any conflicts of interest?
Yeah, because I personally think, we have the best interest in the county, and we see where that they can benefit better than, some other companies are doing business for the county. I don't see nothing wrong with Greg or John, informing the commissioners or the county manager about that. And with the way this is here, it might be a conflict.
I think it's, I think an abbreviated version. You guys can say how you guys handle it.
Handicaps a commission for doing, some of their obligation if they have the best interest. And say, hey, just like if a company from Hereford County can come in Bertie County and do a job $1 million cheaper, that might be his cousin. And then, and we say, can't use his cousin, but they don't say you're $1 million.
Well, I hear your point, Rob, but I think, at least the ones I read, normally say if you personally have any conflict with, you have to disclose that conflict. And if it is, then you cannot vote because you have a personal conflict.
If you personally are getting a financial
personally.
Right. You shouldn't want it for a personal gain. Right.
That is correct.
Well, it's part of our ethics training.
It is. And
every time we
elect if your closest family member's wife, child, if they're getting a personal gain out of that, then it is a conflict.
Right. It's a conflict.
It may not be what you're doing as far as whatever, but if you're getting a personal gain out of it.
If you had the best interest in the county, you wouldn't look for a personal gain from anything or anybody. You're just trying to save the county money. That's my point.
So what I read at the RPO meetings is pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 138A-15, Ethics Awareness and Conflict of Interest Reminder, does any member have any known conflict of interest with respect to any matters coming before the board today? If so, please identify the conflict and refrain from participation in particular matter involved.
All right, that'll be better if you do it.
So I'll forward this to you.
Base by base, like you said, with Mideast.
Yeah. We say basically the same thing, Tammy. It's just we say items on the agenda.
Well, that's what it's referring to.
Yeah.
It's at the top of our agenda when we receive it. And it's,
That's short and sweet, and I think it's a good idea.
All right. I've sent it to both of you.
Thank you.
No need to reinvent the wheel. So are we ready to vote on this today since it's needed?
Basically what Jonathan said was the only thing he did, he made it more accommodating for the state, correct?
Right.
Yes.
That was it.
All right, so I'll take a motion to on this item.
I'll make a motion to move forward with it.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. Good. Thank you. All right. So next on the agenda is the water rate study by Superintendent Ricky Spivey. Thank you for joining us today, sir.
Thank you so much for having me today. You know, last year in October at our last work session, we did some or held a discussion about increasing the water rates. And I think some of the concerns was at the time Chairman West wanted to look around at some of the surrounding counties to see what their rates were. And so I did just that for those that actually had something, I'd like to pass these out if I.
Yes, please. Okay.
Yeah, we know the way. But they ain't paid us for our water yet. The Roanoke is in Berkshire County.
But every meeting I attend with Commissioner Smith, he thanks us for the water.
Free water.
Well, that was before any of us.
You know, and the one that could get the information was for Chauvin County, Green County, which Green County have north and south also have a state prison as well. Hereford County, Martin County, Northampton, Bascom, and Pequimus, which you can also see that their rates pretty much, most of them have graduate rates from 1,000 up to 2, and then graduate goes up and then down from there. But like I say, the only one as you look over this here, they're going to actually stand up greater than us, are going to be Martin County. However, with the Greene County prisoner, which at the time, the same engineer firm that we actually used at the time, it's the same one that we used in Berkeley County and Green County. That's why, as you see, their flat rate was pretty much similar to what I were prior to us actually doing the increase back in 2016. Yes, sir.
Explain real quick. I mean, we got residential flat rate $15.50. Is that for 2,000 or 3,000?
Well, actually, it's the flat rate, whether you use anything or not, but which will do fall within that. But, you know, when we did our flat rate, it was just a flat rate, whether you use anything or not for the county.
Okay. But the charge flat rate up front and then every 1,000 gallons.
Yes, sir.
So if they got 3,000 gallons. Or 2,000 gallons be $9 on to the 15.
Yes, that's correct. Mm-hmm.
Help me read this, because I'm not seeing where you. I see these other counties. Ours is the second page.
Yeah.
So our 1,000 gallons residential, or the flat rate here. Well, help me understand.
You
this,
know, now ours when we adapt our last rate study back in 2016. We decided to go with a flat rate of $15.50, regardless whether you use any water or not, and $4.50 per 1,000. Now, you look at other counties, they have from 0 to 2,000 within their flat rate. Some of them do. But ours was based on a flat rate of $15.50, regardless whether you use anything or not, and then $4.50 per 1,000.
So Hereford County flat rate is $25.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And within that $25 flat rate, they got from 0 to 2,000 gallons, which included in their flat rate.
Right.
Okay.
And our flat rate don't give you nothing.
No.
Okay.
But and even if you now Ron, you brought up a good point. I'm sorry, Commissioner Robinson, when you looked at Hereford County. And you said the $25 flat rate. However, when you do the comparison with Hereford County Berkshire, even if you use 2,000 gallons in Burke T County, you're still gonna be 50% less than what Herbert County flat rate is from the 0 to 2,000.
Right.
You know,
and that's what we ought to be comparing apples and apples, mm-hmm.
right?
So if you look at most of these say 0 to 2,000 gallons, right? Mm-hmm. They call that their flat rate.
Right.
So if you look at ours that way, our flat rate with for up to 2,000 gallons is what is it?
It'll be $24.50.
$24.50 or what's the $27.50? The 16.5 flat rate I'm looking at.
Looking at his chart, that is what he was thinking about recommending.
Oh, okay. I got you. Right. So right now it's 24.50.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
Okay. So you just compare them. Ours is 24.50. Shawan is $14. Greene County is 15.64. Hertford is 25. Martin is 50.
50.
Northampton.
19.50.
Yeah, but that's zero. They don't show a breakout. It says up to 1 to 2,000 gallons is $5 per 1,000 gallons. So if you're talking 2,000 gallons, that's another
$10.
So mm-hmm. that becomes $29.50,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Then Pasco Tank, where they get up 1,000 gallons and then over 1,000 get another $6. So that's $21. Women's
per. All right, let me ask you a question, Ricky.
Mm-hmm.
This was my key question. It's fine, Danny, where everybody else is at. But the recommended increase, are we going to be able to make money off the water? And that was the key issue, correct?
Yes.
It's make water with the recommendations you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
And what's that return on that we'll be making?
I mean, okay.
Because we got operating costs and all that. I know you should have that figured in. Mm-hmm. And what's the return on what you're recommending? What would be profit to go in to keep supporting our water system?
If we actually and you look at all three water users, residential, commercial, and the president of Oka Farm, okay, right now at our current rate, we project that with the old rates revenues right now with the residential, okay, we will actually make about $3,296,297, okay? The old rates for that would be $2,928,817. So if we went with the new rates, that's a difference of $467,000.
For the year?
Yes, sir, for the year. $467,497.44 if we increase by that.
That's great.
More or less, yes.
That's
and also, I'd like to point out, too, you know.
Is that gross or net?
That's a gross.
Yeah, that's the gross.
That's gross. All right. Mm-hmm. What's our net?
That's the only thing that matters is the net.
Right.
How much that's what I.
No, how much you make.
Right. Exactly. Well, actually, I didn't just take the expenditure tools what we actually, you know, from the budget, which, you know, as far as this right here, based on our revenue source from the last year, it's pretty much what balanced the budget. And so it would pretty much be like the net in a sense, you know.
Wait a minute.
Because
if you're raising the rate, right,
mm-hmm.
you're getting more money.
Right. In addition,
you assume you're keeping your expenses the same. You still got to know, are the expenses going to stay the same? Are they likely to increase too?
No, it's basically going to pretty much stay the same.
All right, but what's that going to increase our profit?
It should increase. It should, right. Well, what I have here, though, it looked like it should increase at least $467,000 after we pay all the expenses and stuff.
So you're saying that the expense is not increasing, John?
Right.
Okay. In order for that to be the case, that means you get no increase in your expenses,
right.
No increase
so
in your budget.
$467,000 increase in profits?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's a $2 increase, right?
Right. Uh-huh. Well, actually, $2 increase on the residential rate, and then you can see what's actually for the pills as well at the Boca Farm.
Right.
Overall.
Well, that's a $2 increase in the
residential rate. What? It would be a dollar on the flat rate, which would go from 15.50 to 16.50, and the commodity rate would go from 4.50 to 5.50. Overall for just the residential rate. Now, as you look down to the commercial rate, right there we got $27 flat rate. And a proposed a overall increase in that 4.25, which would be $3 on the flat rate from 27 to 30, and $1.25 on the commodity rate, which will give a overall of $30. Okay.
Which is a $4.25 increase, correct?
Right. Yes.
Okay. Let me. I'm kind of dumb on this. Excuse me. Ricky. Flat rate to me don't mean nothing because everybody can use some water.
Right.
Right. So if I use 1,000 gallons, it was $20. Now it's going to be $22. If I use 2,000 gallons, it was $24.50. Now that's $3. Right.
Right. And I did it all the way across. And you see your scale all the way across up to 12,000 gallons from the old rate and the new rate, what it would be.
So it grows big time. Because at the end, if I use 12,000 gallons, I'm up by, $13, right?
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Okay. I mean, I never understood what was the purpose of having a flat rate. You know, if you said, like a lot of counties say, 0 to 2,000 gallons. Right, because if you use 1 gallon of water, you're going to pay at that 0 to 2,000, right?
Right, right, and that's a good question. But you know, at the same time, I want to thank Commissioner Wilson that you were part of the board when Green Engineer came to us with the increase in this water rate thing,
right.
And we decided then to have a flat rate. Whether we use at first, we used to have 2,000 gallon within our flat rate.
Right.
We did away with that. We did away with that and decided to go with just a 1550 flat rate, whether using the thing or not.
Because we wanted to pick up those people who had a connection
that
didn't
correct.
Do anything. Like when Dr. Ward questioned
Well,
he was connected, but now using the water, he still got to pay.
Right. Right.
It also helps with, you know, our elderly budgeting. And
right. Yes.
Uh-huh. I think I might have been living during that time where that when the water system came through the county and they said they want to put water at every resident. And because they use it not, it'd be.
You know, actually, well, that was intent, but, you know, they had it where to sign up. You had to, you know, the right to sign up or not, you know.
Right.
However, you could take advantage of the early sign up and get it for that cost. Where if you didn't, and then it'll be the full amount at one time.
Right.
That was, you know, strategy.
Let me ask you a question. And this dates back, Ron, you probably remember this too. When Green did the first study for us,
right,
changed over. We actually lowered the flat rate
by 3 cents, from 1553.
Raised the commercial.
Right.
Right.
Okay.
Ron, to your point, Ron.
Right.
The problem was we were missing revenue because some people when they came to line through,
right,
they had to pay something to get connected. Right.
Right. Right.
Whether you use what, so a lot of people said, okay, I'm going to pay for it, but I don't want it on now.
Right. Right.
So they didn't have to pay anything for water. They would get, I mean, they weren't using it, so they had to pay anything.
Right.
Their complaint was, like Dr. Ward says, I'm not using any water, but you're still making me pay every month.
Right.
And we said, yeah.
That's right.
Because you got the water line grant.
Yeah. But his argument was, but I paid for that water line to get there.
Which they paid for.
Right. And to go back to your question, you was right. When they did that study, actually, our flat rate included 32,000 gallons worth of $20. You're absolutely right. And
thank
everything.
You. That's right.
Then we changed it. We changed it and went with 1553. And due to the fact those 3 pennies was offsetting the way we actually collect the money, then you all agreed. So let's take the 3 cents off and then go with straight 1550, which would be much easier for
that's
the building
right.
process.
Right.
It's
easier.
Right. This year, almost by this, it's $467,479. I would think that would be the lowest profit the county would make because the water meters and everything is not included.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the tap, when I go to put.
Right, right. But see, this is based on just the sales of water. You
just
right.
the water
yeah,
itself.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But so the taps and everything they install, that would be.
That would actually add more revenue source, yes.
Right.
But
right.
just based right. on the right. sale of water for all three
right.
users.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How many people are there many people actually in that situation of not using any water?
Oh, man. How many people just not on the county water?
That have service, but not using any water. I mean, it could just be a loop.
Well, it's quite a few. I might still have the meter in the yard, and they just like most of us. Once that private well go bad, then they tell them, you know. And that's what's going on. And then, you know, you have those few that realize that they should have also tied on to it when it was coming through, and versus spending that $1,200 down, they could have got it for just a $50 sign-on fee and then that each month. But there are still quite a few out there. And we have discussed prior to this board here, looking into the availability fee, because when the county decided to go with a countywide water system and projected that all four water districts, a certain number of signs that would come on would actually pay the debt service. However, we fell short in District 2. But right now, District 2 is one of the strongest districts. And that availability fee would give us the ability to, if you run past your house, then you have to tie on to it. Some counties out there did this, but we decided not to before we were throwing that availability fee.
Correct me if I'm wrong. At the current rate, we are now the third highest at $24.50 behind Hertford, that's 25. At, I'm talking at the 2,000 gallon rate. Mm-hmm. We're $24.50. Hertford is 25 and Martin is $50. Mm-hmm. Actually more than that. Martin, but they're crazy. But because they have to do it. But compared to others, when you look at Showan, they're only $14 to our $27.50. Mm-hmm. And Northampton County, it's hard to figure theirs. Oh, it's going to be $24, you know, $21 at Pasquotank. So we're going to be the second highest. Mm-hmm.
But how long has it been since they've taken a look at their rates?
I have no idea.
We don't know.
I'm just saying that's where we are.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and you know, and Commissioner West, and you're right, and actually two of them I talked to also, they are doing the same thing that we are doing there, looking at doing some rate increases though.
Okay.
So...
do we know what the break-even number is?
Do you have that with you, the break-even? And one thing I'd like to point out also is that it was actually highly recommended, you know, back in 2016 from our engineer firm to at least look at the possibility of increasing your water rates at least once every year or every other year. However, you know, we didn't do that. And I guess we're at the point now where do we want to go ahead and increase now, or do we need to look at the possibility of delaying another year? My recommendation is move forward with the increase.
When the last time there been a water increase?
2016.
Exactly. My question to you is the same thing that Commissioner Atkins said. Do we know what our cost is?
I actually don't have those numbers for you.
How many dollars a year takes us to run the overall
what
system?
How much is our debt service?
Not that we're necessarily just comparing to other people. I mentioned this to Rick a couple weeks ago.
Maybe a back way to get to it, John. If Ricky said, Ricky, if you said this rate, increased rate, mm-hmm. brings in $400,000, right? We froze your budget. That's what I'm saying. So we froze your budget. You ought to give us $400,000 at the end of the year.
More or less. Sure. That's right. More or less, we should.
No, not more or less. No. You ought to give us $400,000.
Hey,
no. Here's the problem. Because if you can't say yes to that, so when other things come up that need stuff that's out behind your budget, I mean, that's an issue for us. Because if we raise the rate, but we don't net the money, ain't no good for us.
Then we're still cutting our net.
We got to get that $400,000.
All right, let's do that. I believe we'll make that. Again, you know, Commissioner Weston. This is based on the previous 12 month water use of our biggest water users.
Right.
Now they can increase their consumption.
Sure, it might grow.
Right.
But if it doesn't grow, if it stays the same, we'll net $400,000. We need that's 3.5 cents on the tax rate.
Right.
We need that.
You got that information, Warren?
Yes. So
in
2018, we fell short approximately $8,000. So it's pretty close to breaking even. 2019, we fell short like $190,000. Mm-hmm. And so just to remind you all, of course, like you've been discussing, we're looking at these rates because, number one, it's been a while since they've been changed, and we just need to review them periodically anyway. But this loss here has a lot to do with Avoca, right? Mm-hmm. And you can talk to it more than I can, Ricky, or better than I can. But at one point, the sales for Avoca, they were really using a lot of water.
What is the actual cost of doing business?
Yeah. You're telling me $190,000 short.
Exactly.
And we're going to, so we ain't going to get but
$200,000. Exactly. Yeah. We're not making 460.
We're not making 40. We don't want to make $200,000.
Exactly.
That loss
that's
was,
cost
if it's going to be continued to be repeated, because Voca's down, right? They're not coming back up right now, right?
No, well, actually, it's hard back. To say, though, Commissioner Wilson, well, because just like last off. Month, they used, right? I think, around 7 million gallons of water, which they're getting back, they were back to where they used to do a couple of years back. So now, I think you probably is aware as well as myself and Commissioner Crimm, whoever actually had a chance to ride down there, they still have a lot of sage on the ground from time to time. I think they're actually beginning to run it. They need the quality of water to actually process this.
Rick, I hear you, but we need to prepare ourselves prior to any of that ever happening.
But they're going to a synthetic sage.
They are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the last record, which is 19, mm-hmm. shows that we lost $190,000.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So unless we know that something has changed, mm-hmm. that's the new normal.
It only shows us it's 277,000 products. What is the
total expenditures? 2.9.
All right.
2.7. Sorry. 2.7.
2.7.
Mm-hmm.
2,700,000?
Yes.
Okay. And we're going to come back at, we're going to come back in and have 2,928,000 with the increase you've come up with, Ricky?
At least that. Just keep in mind, there are other sources of revenue as well. Like
okay, but that's only $228,000
right.
profit. Okay.
Right.
And you're only looking at 10% return. Or margin on that.
Is it possible to come up with a figure that says this rate is a break-even point? Anything below this rate, we're losing money. Anything above this rate, we shouldn't be making money. Does that make sense?
Come up with that.
Yeah,
I think
that's only a return of 9%. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you have anything, if you have anything fall off like the Avoca deal, mm-hmm. okay, and you've only got a 9% return, then you're going to lose money, even more money, mm-hmm. okay? Because mm-hmm. in reality, it's not a $467,000 profit. We're back down to about $270,000. So you've only got a 9% return. 9% return can't focus on any running that. What you've got to do, if something happens unbeknownst to you with one of our wells. Or something of that nature, we got to get it fixed, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're only going to be making a profit of $270,000 on water. That's not going to.
But it kind of depends, too, John, on what is in his budget.
Well, I understand that. My point is, unforeseen is not in the budget.
I'm not so sure about that.
Well,
because we. No.
How can you budget unforeseen?
Because we figure in a factor in his budget.
Have you got a factor figured in?
I can't tell you exactly
what.
I mean, there has to be. You don't figure a budget at break even, do you? I mean, because he has maintenance. He has things that come up.
I mean,
what would you?
He figures a balanced budget. We always look at those field money that we have in the budget, and we look at the revenue coming in from the state. This is the problem. The revenue is falling off from what it
is. Because of water sales.
Right.
Right. His expenses stay within the budget. Right. Mm-hmm. But the revenue.
There's nothing that he or his department has done.
Right.
People stop buying water at the Avoca.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question. Tell me what the expenses are for the last years for the water department. Show me that they're the same.
Is the prison down
the
also? Because they don't have as many inmates.
No, it's pretty much the same.
I understand it, John. Okay. But
if something unforeseen happens, and what's a well cost right now?
Well, actually, we do a new well. You probably talk about a $500,000.
That's what
I was
going to say,
$500,000, right? Mm-hmm. I just would love to know, what is the budget for the water department expenses for the last few years? That tells us where we are. I mean, is it growing while the revenue is going down, or is the expenses staying the same?
Because what you guys read us was the expenses or the budget number?
Expenses. 2.7 were the expenses, the expenditures.
Which year? Which year?
In 2019.
2.7 million in 2019.
That was the expenses.
2.6. We don't know this year what we budgeted for 20?
Yes, we're looking at that now.
And are we limited in how much? Percentage-wise, how much we can make? on the water department by law.
Okay, that lowers us down another 100,000.
Okay, that's 21, right? What was 20? Mm-hmm. What was 20?
20. We don't have that yet. We don't have that with
you. You're doing an average run.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's growing by $100,000 a year.
Exactly. That's another point. Yeah. That's the point.
While the revenues are going down.
Exactly. So again, that would lower us by another $100,000 profit, which is probably gonna drop you down to about 4.5% off this new deal here. 4.5%, 5% net.
That 400,000 goes down to about $100,000.
That's what I'm saying. It's gonna drop us down to about 5% is where it's gonna be our net. Can't survive on that.
And that's the but that's the problem with Bertie County, guys. Anything happens with any department, mm-hmm. we're screwed
exactly.
because our revenue is what hurts us, absolutely. Not our expenses. We operate pretty on the cheap, but we don't have enough revenue to overcome anything
right.
in any department. Let one thing happen in maintenance. Let one thing happen over here. One thing happen over here. Every year we get screwed.
And you said the 21 is 2.8, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and we're talking about 2.9 coming in, and that's only $128,000 profit now.
Best case.
Best case scenario. And if you take $128,000 divided by 2.8, you said?
Mm-hmm.
2.8. As I said, 4.5%, which is what the net is. Can't survive it.
To answer your question, that's something that we can look at. Charlie's question was, is there something, some requirement that says we can't make, only make a certain percentage or something like that off our water sales? And no, I'm not aware of that, but we can.
That's a problem with our budgets in general. We got to cut expenses.
Yeah,
can't change revenue.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Budget.
Yes, I know they make us reduce taxes if our fund balance gets too high, so you know, and then they want to gig us if it gets too low. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that we're not going above that, but mm-hmm. and have enough operating costs.
Right.
You know,
right.
To,
and we can gather some more. Go ahead.
Uh-huh. And now you can start seeing the work of the spreadsheet I give you to show your 1 year, 2 year earnings. If you not be able to go back and look at what it would wind up at 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, what would you be able to be at this year? It's something that's always been there, but I don't think the point was driven home really well about what purpose it serves. And I think it's going to be really important going forward this year, in my opinion.
You think?
Yeah, and you know, another thing, Commissioner Trent, even when we talked about the possibility of $500,000 for a new well, actually, that's all the components within that well. However, to go with the luxury of those expensive warehouses, all the other stuff they have there, versus those other hot box that we use like we did down at Boca Falca, really, really cut the cost there. Now, so when engineer designed this stuff and everything, they put the best of the best, like the Cadillac model in there. However, that actually increased the price. Now, you remember back when they came before us and everything and looked at the possibility of doing this upgrade, which we really needed because it was kind of old, antiquated system. And then with the skater, you know, we actually add another, I want to say a little over $6 million to our debt service. So if you look at that and then you start looking at what those each year that I had to add to my budget to pay those loans debt off, service. Commissioner Wilson, that's what we're looking at when we add to that. Right.
Would pay for that loan.
Absolutely.
So it should have been a zero cost to your budget.
Right. But that won't be the case. You know what I'm saying?
So that goes back to the point I was making prior. I think I made this to the county manager, which he wasn't involved
That's right.
Can I ask a question? What, I'd like to ask a question. What do the water department fund balance look like? I mean, that's something that we never told me what my fund balance looked like, because I'm sure I should have a fund balance. Is it down below 4%?
William?
We don't have that.
Because the way they count the neighborhood fund balance in the enterprise fund is different from the local fund. So I don't really have to think about
that. I don't have that.
But it's not below 4% though, right? I don't think, and the reason why I asked that because for your time, Juan, I think it was mentioned through Scott that, and one of the commissioners too said that the water department had a pretty healthy fund balance, you know. And I think, Commissioner West, you might have shared it with me as well. We were pretty doing good. We're doing pretty good with that, you know, and the water department fund balance, which, like you said, sets aside from the general fund.
I think the point of contention is the same thing that I've been saying and Ron was saying is this. We did have a pretty good balance in there, but when you start increasing, for example, $190,000 a year or $100,000 a year in expenses, guess what? That money's got to come from somewhere, right?
Yeah, right, right.
Okay, and we're not raising revenue, so it's coming out and it's dropping.
Yes, it won't take long to disappear, just like our fund balance.
Right, and the thing is too, when he bought that, when it came to us, it was a great idea. We know that we need to do this. We need to kind of upgrade our system, without a doubt. But when we spend the other 6-point-something million, I don't think that we took into consideration too at the time how much more would it going to add to my budget as far as paying those notes every year, each year.
Again, we were told closing down the change in the phone system would pay for those loans. Was that not
right? And so, you know what? On that phone system was only $50,000 a saving. You remember that? It was like $52,000 per year saving from the phone system, you know.
Let me ask a question, Mr. Spivey.
Yes, sir.
Do you foresee any major repairs? I know, unquote, you know.
Right.
You never can predict what may happen in the future.
Right.
But this county has upgraded with the phone system and other.
The only major repairs out there right now, is the town of Lewis. That's the old system, and I think, without a doubt, we put the cart before the horse, but we took on that system. You know, we didn't get funded for the town of Lewis like we did Roxbury and Kefa, and then South Windsor. We didn't get funded. So now we have a system that every week seems like you got a leak. And then when I go in to make the repair to this leak, what happens? When I close the valve, you shut the whole town down. So I'm in a situation where I need to make a tie-in for most, I think everybody probably know Doris Ward before you get to the end of, say, that greenhouse. There's the fire hydrant there. That's the end of the line. That's just the line for the town of Lewis. I want to tie in at that point to feed water on this side of Lewiston. Also, on South Highway 11 at the Jack Branch Road intersection, at that point, do a tie-in. So that way, we have three looping lines at town of Lewiston, so when we go in to do the upgrades or repairs, we won't kill the whole town.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, but when we do a testing, right, we have a meter set, and you give us an estimate. What do you need in order to do all the things you would want, right? Mm-hmm. But if that need is not up to the revenue you make, where the money comes?
But it's also going to be built into the price increase that you just gave us.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So now we're going backwards again, okay? Because we've got a $2.8 million budget this year, okay? And it's reducing the profits down again from what we got here. So like I said, we're only at 4.5%. We really need to get somebody to get this thing. I get it. If there's something unseen, absolutely, and that's the deal. So I would say that what we have here is not what we need to move forward, but we need to move forward more than what we're looking at. Exactly. And the question is how much revenue or where we're going to increase it to, okay, because it's not balancing out at the numbers we got here. Do you agree with that?
Well, we want to make sure that we – don't increase it beyond what the LGC will allow us to. Okay.
Well, so we got a county manager in William. They can figure that out.
Yeah.
Find out what the deal is.
We will.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes. Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Well, that's what we've always done. We did that last time,
right,
too.
And that's why I looked at the Volker Farm and the prison and everything, which their rate actually, I thought was pretty moderate what I actually looked at and increasing it too. And I also made a recommendation, at least if back in October, if we would at least activate those two system increase starting January of this year, at least we'll start putting that revenue from the prison and the Volker Farm. You know, but we kind of tabled that until now. Do you want me to look at the possible? Do these numbers look okay, satisfactory to you for the local farm and the prison?
So
I
think.
Ricky,
one more time?
Yes, ma'am.
Ricky, do you know when your debt service will be paid for your most recent debt service?
I'll be retired probably 20 years.
Ricky, I didn't hear your question that you just asked a second ago. What was that question or that statement or question you just had? Prior to Ms. Lee saying something.
Do you want to increase?
I was asking the increase I have for the Volker Farm and the prison, is that set effect to the board as far as moving forward with, or do we need to look at adding a little more to it or taking something from there?
I think
because
we can get more explanation of what that's going to put down. You can't just raise it and then we don't know what our return is, and then we turn around and have to come back and do it again because we're not making what we should be making. Okay? Or making.
Yes, 67,000. Well, actually, 99,847 to be exact. 44.
I think
for the Volker Farm and the prison.
Just see what we're going to do. I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, but that residential side is not correct anyhow because the cost, you know what I'm saying, the cost is up.
No.
No.
It's 367,632 on residential. The 467 you're looking at is all three together.
That includes everything.
Yes.
So he's got it broke down, separated out, and then the total number at the bottom. But it still goes back to what I was saying. I mean, we're actually increased from that.
Yeah, I think the government can pay more than their citizens.
You know? Yeah, we because we pay it.
I think it guarantees money.
All right, let me ask you.
Go ahead.
Okay. Can you? Are we going to have Ricky do this revision, or do we need to get Green or somebody here to do the revision of what our cost is and where we're going to from here?
I think we're going to make another attempt for us to get together and get what you're asking. And yes, and if that is not sufficient, we will, if we need to rely on Green, we can do that. But I think we can,
I get that part, but I also want the accurate numbers. No offense to anybody. I just want to make sure that we're pinpointed and not turn around and come back and say, okay, well, that number is not actual, the actual profit. You follow what I'm saying?
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It won't go both sides, so you come up with the profit.
Right. Exactly. That gets down to the brass tacks of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right. Okay, so you're going to find out what we can do, okay?
Yes.
You're going to revisit these numbers again, correct?
Absolutely, yes,
okay,
sir.
Okay, get it back to us so we can figure out what our return is.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and that way we'll know what our cost or our budgeted cost numbers were this year, okay, versus because we got to get this worked out. So,
yes, sir.
You know where I'm coming from.
Sooner rather than later because, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. Right.
And we got to know what our cost of doing business is. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And when you do that, take a look at the cost of losing two men, factor that in, because it'll be a cost, you know. But it'll be, you know, at the end of the day, it'll be a revenue too, you know.
This was a start, okay?
Right, okay.
Start.
Commissioner Roberts, to ask a question on that town of Lewiston thing there, which actually, if we went in to grant an upgrade for the town of Lewiston right now, you're probably talking somewhere in the neighborhood about $1 to $2 million to upgrade the whole system.
How much is costing the repair though? Every other day, somebody got a leak, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. It, what I'm saying.
You see what I'm saying? You end up spending the same thing.
And I would love nothing more than being able to go in and just do the whole upgrade, because then that way, the town of Lewis, the town of Kef, Rock, all that stuff have been new within and South Wind within the last few years. However, District 3 is to have the oldest portion of the system, because they started that in 92, 93, or 94.
But Ron, there's another piece of that, because we're thinking like, oh, that's got to come out of our budget, but that's what grants are for.
That's why I was giving the answer. That's why I was giving the answer. How about grant money? If we can look and see, can we find some of that for water? You think you maybe can contact someone?
Yeah, I just sent some information.
That's what Green, does. We got him on contract.
Yeah. That's what we've been doing. And actually, we submitted an application in, and we were fortunate to get funded for the Roxbury and the South Windsor project, but however, Lewiston didn't qualify.
Right.
Why?
And don't forget, the South Windsor gave us $100,000.
Right.
That's right. Why they didn't qualify?
Actually, there was some components within that, like I said earlier, we kind of put the cart before the horse. And I think if we had a problem got with, at the time, Mayor Devon, and kind of sat down with her, and with the language that we need to transfer over to the state prior to, I think we've been in shape to probably get funding. However, when she talked with them, she said that to a greater degree, there really wasn't anything wrong with the system other than they didn't have the manpower pretty much work it. They do have some leaks and everything, but they needed something more concrete, like with the Roxbury and the South Windsor project and stuff that could have helped get the funding. That's what we, I think, for the most part, got turned down.
I do.
I do.
Right.
So we ought to be doing that for Lewiston right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Oh, yeah.
Before we need it.
But they did submit the application back for Lewis, but we got shot down again, you know. But I mean, we can always do it again. But like he was saying, the money that's there, it's very competitive for each water system when you apply for those grants. And you can get a loan. Anybody can get a loan. But, you know, what happens when you get that loan? you added more to that debt service.
That's right.
Yeah, we want to try to get a grant. I think, like Commissioner Wilson said, Commissioner Trent, I think if we make, as commissioner, we make some calls and go see, talk to some people, maybe to get that, maybe to walk that grant through, especially with condemning out there, you know.
It'd be great if we could.
I mean, I don't grant think money, no we problem.
Need loans.
We got enough loans.
I don't want no loans.
All right. Go ahead.
I don't mean to take you off guard, but I did have a question for you, and I kind of want to know why Jonathan was here.
Mm-hmm.
It's my understanding that there's a lot of fire hydrants in Scotch Hall that aren't working.
Mm-hmm.
It's also my understanding that the county is saying that it's not responsible for the water system inside beyond the main entrance there. Is that right? I think
that's correct.
To do with when it was.
That is correct.
Yeah, okay. But it's also my understanding that we're reading the water meters at the homes in Scotch Hall.
Mm-hmm.
People send their money to the county.
Right. Yeah.
So we're going in Scotch Hall, they work into that high.
We just read their meters and bill them for the water they use.
Yeah. All right. My concern, and again, I want to ask it while Jonathan's here, because I think it's something we need to get clarified for the county, is, you know, I don't know if the people in Scotch Hall know that their fire hydrants aren't working or not. I know there's been some questions raised about it. But, Jonathan, do you think that the calls that the county is reading the water meters at the homes, then people would have a legitimate argument that the county should have something to do with these fire hydrants not working?
So, yeah, liability question for a county, a public entity providing a service to homes.
This is a scenario I can see playing out.
Yeah.
You know, the house catches on fire, burns down, heaven forbid, and fire hydrant does because the fire hydrant wasn't working. And the county comes up and says, we didn't have anything to do with that. It's not our water system. And the homeowner says, well, you're reading the water meter at my house, and I'm sending my water bill to you. So why is this your water system?
What's the purpose?
I'm not saying that's a fact. I'm just saying that's
a yeah, yeah. I see what you're saying. What's the purpose of the fire hydrants? Is it technically for flushing the system, or is it actually for fire protection? Fire.
I actually designed it to flush the system. However, you know, you have a lot of the fire departments will actually come and say that they should be used for fighting fire. If you hook up to one of the fire hydrants out there with a pumper truck, and you start pumping that water through that, you're going to pull so much backflow from that system that you'll collapse the line, burst the pipes, and God knows what could happen. That's why it wasn't designed for fighting fire. It was just basic for flushing the system.
Is that county-wide or just in?
The county-wide. Now those towns that have their own water system, they probably built and designed it for that purpose only. But the county, you look back at the parts when they built the system, when we built the system rather, it was pretty much for to flush the system.
Mm-hmm. They put that system in themselves. Mm-hmm. Correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And then they ask, would we supply water? Correct.
Yes, correct.
Well?
Mm-hmm.
We should be fairly compensated for all water that comes out of our well. That system belongs to them.
Right.
That pipe out there belongs to them. But the only way for us to calculate how much water goes into each of those houses, okay, because we do send the bill for our water, is we have to have a meter base at each house.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And Scotch Hall bought those, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, in my opinion, my whole statement here, because we visited this years ago, okay, is that we have no mapping for anything out there.
No.
We have no mapping to know where the water lines are at. We have no mapping to see how deep they are. We have no mapping to know where they're crossing the roads at. None of these things. So, I don't see how we take any responsibility for something like that when they own piping system.
John is right, but to Greg's question, we should take on the responsibility of letting them know in HOA that we are not responsible. Right. It is your system. We're just selling you water. And the reason we read it is because we have to charge you. Right. But we have no responsibility for them hydrants, for your system. It's yours. And again, that's what needs to be clear, exactly. Spelled out.
And again, that boils down to is we did that when they came to us, or HOA came to us in the beginning years ago, okay? Maybe it needs to be reiterated again. But under circumstances, even when they came to us and wanted us to consider their sewer plan, which we did want, remember that? Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so let's make sure it's in our agreement, John.
I agree. But I mean, that's something the attorneys need to do that because that goes years before us.
That's what I'm saying.
I agree with what you're saying.
Yes, yeah, definitely before my time.
Is that sufficient to protect the county?
Go ahead, Rick.
You know, because actually, when the developer and the engineer, when they decided to go in to develop this Scotch Hall golf course back there, they clearly told us, okay, they put up the money to run the pipe from Highway 17, all the way to the gate, okay? And then inside, they had their own engineers to do everything inside the gate. We actually put the pipes in the ground from 17 all the way to the gate. Our engineer did that. That's where we stopped there. That's right. And they argued us the fact that this is our system. That's why they didn't want to deed it to the county, because they said they bought and paid for everything.
That's a part of the thing.
And
so we need to
make sure everybody understands.
Make sure everybody understands.
If that's sufficient, well, because the common sense answer is always legally.
Well, there's one thing. So I guess the best way to parse this out is just two ways. Number one is countywide, what's our liability? And then secondly, Scotch Hall, what's our liability? Because I think you got to talk countywide first. I don't know that, and I think Rick, I'd always heard that fire hydrants are for flushing the system. They're for water. They're for water maintenance purposes. They're not designed for firefighting. They're not designed for fire protection.
Right.
We've
actually been told by our engineers that's what they're designed for, flush the system, and not to be used for that.
Well, absolutely. That needs to be taken to the fire chiefs, because I've had fire chiefs call me about different fire hydrants, and I've called you about Mickey and.
Well,
you don't fight it off the hydrant.
Fire chiefs have went to every commission previous to this board with the same argument. They want us to change the rules for they use it for firefight. Y'all not the first commission to hear this. I'm telling you. You know, and they've been arguing that point. But what do you do? Now, I want to mention this here. They had a broken water main inside the golf course. They had their own people to fix it. We didn't go in to dig up and make a repair. So what's the difference in making a repair to the water main and the fire hydrant? All those components inside that gate belong to
I think we've all learned something today. Thank you, Greg.
Logs is clearly spelled.
So the first layer of insulation of county liability is that if someone hooks up to a fire hydrant to fight a fire, if they call the local fire department to come out and fight it, they're not calling the county to come save their house or to protect their family. They're calling somebody to come in and they hook up to a fire hydrant. Either it doesn't provide the right capacity of water to fight if it just peters out, or if it's not even working. If they're using it beyond the capacity, beyond the scope of what they were buying water for, then it's not the county's fault that it doesn't work for a purpose that it was not designed for. I will say, though, I thought I heard somebody say, well, do the people of Bertie County know that they can't necessarily rely on a fire hydrant? Or even do the people in Scotch Hall know they can't rely on a fire hydrant that where there's county water flowing around it or near it? I hope they do. I don't know how I originally found out that fire hydrants are for water maintenance purposes only, but it probably wouldn't hurt maybe to have something annually. We talked the other day about putting stuff in with a bill. We can't put so much stuff in everybody's water bill, but I have some reference, some little notation to something where there's maybe a disclaimer that says, hey, you know, you're paying good money for good water, but you're not paying for fire protection to Berkeley County. and maybe have that stated somewhere somehow. And that would apply to people in Scotch Hall too. The second layer of liability with Scotch Hall is that that's not even our system. So even if we were responsible for providing fire protection through our system to the people in the county, if there's something in Scotch Hall system, that's like one step removed. So it's almost like intervening negligence is what we would call it in law. If somebody's using something for a purpose that's not intended, or if someone else's negligence intervenes and causes a problem, then that sort of is an insulating factor for the county's liability.
Rick, you talk about if somebody used it, could collapse the lines, right?
Right. Yes.
Could it also collapse our lines?
Oh yeah, Jeff.
Should it be clear that if they use it out of purpose and cause damage to the county's lines, that they are responsible for that?
Yeah, it would be.
Yeah.
I think that all needs to be there because that could happen. Collapse our lines, and then they can say, well, you know, that's not our lines, that's yours.
Well, they, you mean like Scotch Hall might say that?
They could have a fire. Somebody, fire department comes out there, they overuse the capacity of that, and then it collapses not only their lines, but ours.
Yeah.
Who's going to fix our lines?
What would collapse a line? You're talking about pumping the hydrant.
They're opening
the hydrant to fill the truck.
They're allowed to fill their truck from a hydrant, but they're not allowed to pump directly from the hydrant.
Right.
A lot of them like to do that, hook directly to the hydrant and pump.
So if they did that, wouldn't have a control, that's their property, and they pumped out of that hydrant, collapsed our lines, what do we do?
Well, I mean, it's their negligence, so they would be responsible for fixing the line and for any injury that was caused as a result.
We wouldn't have any liability about making that clear to them that that was not allowed.
Then you could sue the fire department. Right?
You mean like
that they were not allowed to pump directly out of those hydrants too?
They would say, "Hey, you didn't tell us this was not allowed." Okay. I don't know that it's the county's responsibility to tell somebody not to be negligent. Well,
I would think
if I didn't know I was being negligent.
If we had told them affirmatively at some point down the line, hey, you can hook to our fire hydrant and pump all you want, then yeah, we then have the duty to say, hey, but don't pump too much because you might collapse the lines. But I don't
understand in common is all good.
That's right.
Flow out of fire.
Do not pump out of the fire, and that's all there is to it. And we know that numerous times from numerous meetings, okay? Because it's come up in conversations with fire departments and our meetings. Mm-hmm.
So it wouldn't be really Scotch Hall that we would, if we were going to tell somebody not to do that, it wouldn't really be Scotch Hall, it'd be the fire departments. And the fire departments, I think, already know they're not supposed to do that.
That's a good point. This is going to come up.
They should. They either knew. As we say in the law, they either knew or should have known. So you say, what's that, Greg? I'm sorry.
I said this. You know, there's some discussion about possibly a fire tax and trying to get fire ratings down and the insurance rating down and all. So this hydrant thing is going to be the last we're going to hear of this. I suspect.
I don't see where it's an issue for the county. It's sounds like it's their issue, and from what I'm hearing. Anything else before we recess for a few minutes?
Do we need to? Are we going to do? Bob suggested making sure the homeowners association there understood that their fire hydrants may not work and that it is not the county's responsibility they don't work. I think we knew it, but I'm not sure. Send them a letter. And I mean, I think it's important that they know, because I mean, if I live there, I'd want to know it, and if they got paper to get them fixed, and they may want to.
And it supports us, gives us a little backup.
All right, well, we will recess. We are having a working lunch. Let's recess until 12:15. And I guess that's long enough to do what we need to do.
All righty, we're ready to roll.
Thank you so much. All right, so we're coming back out of recess. Next thing on the agenda is our budget workshop. It's an update and some, you have anything, any handouts for us?
Yes, we do. So just, this is a follow-up to our last work session where we had just a little bit of conversation about the budget and inquiries about, you know, just knowing exactly where we are and projections for finishing where we'll be at the end of this fiscal year. And so William does have a handout for you, and we'll dive into that. But as I was mentioning at that meeting, since that time I have followed up with department heads, and of course, we'll see exactly where we are now, but the meeting with the department heads was to discuss exactly where we are, where we're likely to end, and just making sure I make the point that, you know, if it's something absolutely necessary to the service that you're providing, you need it, absolutely go ahead and get it if it's within your budget. However, if you have money left over and you don't necessarily need to use it, we don't need to use it. So that is the message that I've really been
trying. And there'll be some oversight in all of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, there will.
Bottom line, my projection is there should be nearly $800,000 going back in fund balance if we continue to run it the way we appear to be running so far. Keep in mind that this is going to be largely contingent on us maintaining the same level of sales tax that we've been given, which has been a little higher than I think it projected in the original. No unexpected expenses. I'm projecting certain line items I did project, such as the money that was set aside for the animal control shelter. I project to spend it. Don't know if it's spending. It's possible it may not. So that could go back into some amounts as well. Jody's conversion for his taxes, I went ahead and put that in there because I anticipated being spent. Who knows if we get to it this year or not? I do not know. There's a few items like that I went ahead and projected back because I felt like there was a good chance it would happen. But it doesn't happen that we increase our amount more back in the months. This also includes a anticipated Medicaid cost settlement of about $450,000. We got about 550 last year. But it's always subject to whatever the different organizations apply for, how much money they have available. So I didn't want to go full blast on what we got last year, and then we wind up being short this year. So
that's part of your $800,000 that will go back.
Yes. So, as you can see, if you look through the percentage out at the bottom of each department, the best it calculates what percentage they use. Some departments were right at 100%. Several departments are underneath. Some of the areas that I thought were kind of interesting is like the sheriff's department, communication.
What page are you on?
Page 5, 6, 7.
And if one second,
and at the bottom of the section, there will be a
right.
A note that is the total of 43 teams of the sheriff. That actually will be on page 6. So everybody can say that. You'll notice that I'm anticipating this budget around 70% of the budget. Again, we know you guys lap salaries and stuff like that that won't be spent. I want to bring that to your attention.
All right, but that's not that's not considered in what you have of not being spent in the budget, correct?
But what I do is on his side, I project what I expect him to spend the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Which is less than what we budgeted for.
All right, but you just made the comment about lapsed salaries. Is that a part of the would you say 28%?
The savings, yeah.
Is that part of the...
The 78% is what he actually spent.
I understand.
Versus what we budgeted.
What you're expecting to spend, correct?
What I'm expecting him to spend versus what we budgeted.
Okay. All right. But does the 22% include the lapsed salaries in it, or does it not?
Mm-hmm. It does would. It would, right? It would, because it's pretty much going to be what's extra, right?
I don't know, but I'm asking William this. I'm just trying to get a clarification.
Yeah. I mean,
okay. Okay. I'm just trying to get a clarification of this.
It's good and bad. It's good at not spending money, but it's bad because we're not getting call run and getting that revenue.
That exactly. Cost is dropping also.
Not on the transport, it's on EMS.
Their salaries.
I think I was a little bit disturbed because I based it on the first round of money and then we actually got a second round, so I think that second round helped put a little bit back in our bank.
Let me ask you a question. Under the CARES Act, mm-hmm. where they had utilities and things that weren't paid in the water department because we couldn't cut people off and this, that, and the other.
Mm-hmm.
Can that money be used towards that?
Well, first off, let me say I've used up all the money.
Okay.
Right. So I'm not sending any of that money back.
Good.
I have been getting all kinds of notices with different organizations on getting some of this money, and I've actually been in contact with some of these organizations who are now trying to set up payments for some of the people. I've actually had two or three more payments recently from one organization that was.
Is that the HOPE program?
I think it may have been.
Good.
But there's about two programs that's actually contacted me recently saying that with this CARES Act money that they can kind of assist these people and they're starting to flow in.
Really, there's something too.
Trillion? You mean trillion?
Trillion.
Trillion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think they're one of those that talked about that.
Well, that's part of the HOPE NC Corps. But a lot of those checks have not been floated out to people. So. That's what I'm saying.
I don't want to be
you ain't got it. So you did get it.
So, I'm assuming your $800,000 is not in that. we can put back into fund balance does not include that wonderful check we're going to be getting.
Juan and I was having a discussion about that the other day, because it's a two-part process. Number one, financially, on the financial statement, I have accounted for that money, but it's an AR. And whenever I finally get the money, I will reduce the AR and put it in the bank. However, when they try to calculate fund balance, they use cash in the bank. That's when it's going to be beneficial. So, yes and no. I'm not really going to be able to count it
here.
In here in the financial statements, because it's already accounted for, but it will help us over here on fund balance when they try to calculate the percentage.
Here, if you get that shit in the bank, just to get a check, don't have to.
It's got to be in the bank. I need it before the end of June.
Well, bro, let me ask you a question.
I'm on it. It's coming.
It's coming.
Yeah, we've been talking about FEMA and all that for 5 years now.
It's coming. Yes, please. Yes, please. Share what you have, because he keeps saying the 4%.
We have a discussion about this, because he keeps saying that
4%. Yes. I missed the auditor saying that. I don't know.
Is your mic on? Is your mic?
I missed. I heard 7.
I didn't hear you say wrong. Yeah,
please share what you have.
So, this was a slide that Jeff, the auditor, spoke to. This is a slide that he spoke to. Okay, so this is where we're getting the 3.3%. Okay, this is where he's getting that. But please take a look, and I'm going to explain what that 3.3% is. If you take a look at 2018, it said 6.8%. And I'm sure you weren't aware back then that you were below the 8%. And technically, you're not, because the 8% recommendation and then the 10 that we have, that is the available fund balance that we get from this LGC, this calculation that I'm going to point out here. So it says available here at the top, but we're going to do a calculation in just a second. I'm pointing out to you what I mean. This is actually unassigned. Unassigned fund balance is being compared to our total expenditures for that year. That's how we come up with the 3.3, the 6.8, and the 8.99. So for this year, our available fund balance is about 7.44. We're still not at 8% or 10%. I'm not disputing that. We're not there. But it's not as low as this 3.3 because, again, the year before, we were at 19%.
Well, he's talking 19 right now because that's what he has it.
Correct, 19.
He's saying the available fund balance should be 7.4, which this chart shows 3.3, but this chart shows unassigned fund balance.
This is what I'm handing you here.
Which we are not legally, we don't have to keep it at a certain.
I don't think there's anything that I can read that says you have to have a certain amount of unassigned fund balance.
It's available. So if you look here, this is 2018. All right, do you see that set 19.44% down at the bottom? Fund balance available as percent of expenditures, 19.44. So that's kind of like on this, your graph, it's like, it should say 19.44 there. Like the 19.44 is different from this 6.8. It's still true. 6.8 is unassigned. 19.44 is available for 2018. That makes sense? 8% available. So let me tell you, let me show you how he got that 6.8. If you take look at the page two that I gave you, if you take a look at unassigned, look in that first column, major, it's the second number, third number from the bottom. Well, you see 1.729650. If you divide that by the total expenditures, which is on the front page, 25,395.79. That's how you get the 6.8 for 2018. So that's why the on this graph that Jeff presented, it says 6.8 for 2018. But again, that's unassigned fund balance, not available. All right. So now let's fast forward to 2019.
He needs to reword his.
You're correct.
Yeah. Because it says available, but it should say unassigned.
Yeah, and I was having a discussion about that. I was getting very confused.
And that's what he said on the when he was talking to us also.
But he said the 7 point.
William said that.
Because I also said at that particular time, if we had received the money that we should have gotten,
absolutely,
and I added to it, I would have been sitting around 12%.
Us being told what you guys had said to us,
yeah,
and then him saying what he said,
right?
Okay,
and it's
because
a little bit different. I'm not saying that the 3.3 is wrong, it's just not available. Available is 7.44, the 3.3 is unassigned. Again, the recommendation of 8% and 10% is available, which comes from here.
So, the 7.44, we have much work to do,
absolutely,
to bring it up
absolutely.
To the 8% that the LGC says, and
yes,
the 10% that we have as a county.
Correct. Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. So as you can see here, 7.4 for 2019. And then if you want to get to 3.3 that came from the auditor's graph, you're going to go to that second page. And again, the third number from the bottom, from that first column, is 874. So it did go down. 874,333. If you divide that by the total expenditures from 2019, which is the 26 million from the first page, 26,525,120, then you'll get the 3.3 from that graph. So again, that's unassigned versus available. It's two different things. Yes.
Well, this is the LGC calculated spreadsheet, and it says percent fund balance available as a percent of expenditures.
Because it's unassigned, he needs to change that word.
Well, if you remember when Stuart was on the board, he always wanted to talk about unassigned. It always scared me because nobody talked about unassigned. Because technically, unless it's restricted, any fund balance you have, y'all have the right to do whatever you want to with it, even if you set it up like for reval.
No, that's it. I just really wanted us to be clear on exactly where we were. So we have an understanding of available versus unassigned.
And I just want to add to this fact that we, at the time when this was done, I think my total outstanding was about $700,000 at the time. And about 800, which I calculated and said if we had received it, it would have put me up around 12%. Well, ironically, I'm looking at about 700 some thousand again. So if our expenses stayed about the same, I would anticipate another bump in the percentage.
I'm checking my email right now. Yeah. So I've been checking it all morning. 5 o'clock. He hasn't sent it. No.
Well, I will say that when we talked about it in the work session, I think when I ran it, I was looking at about an $800,000 deficit. And y'all got together and said, cut 5% out of everybody's budget. Now I'm thinking I've cut at least half of it out. I'm projecting to have cut a little bit more of it out. I think we won't have a loss, but I think it's going to be like maybe $100,000. I would say about $200,000. We'll be safe.
Not exactly. I mean, I can give you a rough figure, maybe, but
I would think we'd be above the 8.
We're at 7.4 for now. Yeah.
But we're not going to be at the 10 that we're supposed to be at.
Right. Right.
Yeah. If we get the money in and we end up the year, I think we can get above 10.
Okay. But the other thing is, too, if you remember,
we're going to get that money.
You received in like $500,000 or $600,000 right after this audit was given to you, also.
I received some. I don't can't remember exactly how much it was, but yeah.
I remember talking to you about it.
Yeah.
You said you wish you'd had it. So
what yeah, I wish I had come in before the end
right
of the year.
After you had given them the audit that you turned in, but to the auditors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it did not get included in the year that it should have been.
Right. I don't want to start about weighted out. I think you've already taken the steps where he's meeting with the department head saying, look, I'm looking at your budget. You know, do you have to spend stuff, don't, or whatever? I think we're taking steps right now to kind of say we're looking at tightening the year. So, and then we'll keep monitoring as we go along. But taking any drastic things, I don't think we need to do anything drastic at the moment. Yeah.
Since we're like we got a couple more months, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe, right.
Yeah, March, April, May. Exactly.
Yeah. And most of the time it comes in, I kind of project higher than what it normally comes in as.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping this is going to be true too.
And again, everybody make sure they understand.
Yeah.
The audit that we just talked about was 18-19.
That was 19.
Now we got 19-20 audit.
Correct.
And it was the 19-20 audit when that other money came in from the federal government. You said, God, I wish we had that come in 2 weeks.
Yeah, so that's going to actually go back into my cash, which
that's going to go
will.
Back in here that hasn't been included anyhow. It will now that he's got a paper from the audit. So that's another $500,000, I think, is what it was.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The calculation for the fund balance is real tricky because financial statement-wise, I account for everything. But when you go ahead and start trying to calculate this, when they want to look at cash in the bank, That's when it hurts me, when I don't get this money in. And speaking of that, I would like to inform everybody, I know some of you already know, that we've had some diligent work on trying to get this money in, and I've actually got notification that my EMS building has been approved for the additional expenditures, and they promised me I should get a check within 30 days, so hopefully that'll come on in.
$288,000.
Yeah, the DRA
money. I forwarded to all
the
of
DRA money. I don't know where I stand on that. There's been emails back and forth, and
he got an email again this morning.
I just seen a recent one asking where is our money, and
is that another 70,000?
$76,000.
That's like 77,000. Is
there another $70,000 floating around out there somewhere?
No,
it's just one.
Just one. In the receipt, right? Yes. That's where it gets really tricky.
Yeah, no.
That was one of the questions he asked me. Am I going to add to this? I said technically not, because I already accounted for the money, but it's going to help over here when you try to calculate the percentage.
I think Commissioner Trent, when you were asking about the additional. You know, we do, after we get the 288 or whatever from FEMA, there is a portion that we're expecting from the state.
Oh, well, yeah, there was 70, but it was like 212 over expenditures and 70,000 for the match, which made the 288. And that's to 288. I look at the EMS building as being 288 I should get.
Right.
Yeah, that was the other 70 you were talking about.
Okay.
The 70 I was talking about is from a completely different project.
DRA.
That's a completely different project. I've just been keeping the total running numbers in my
head. Yeah, well, I just read the whole total number, and I won't think about the split part.
Well, your email with the breakdown has been a tremendous help, and you know, I've referred to it a lot. And anyway, so very grateful. Thank you. That was a huge help.
I'm very grateful for the effort y'all put on board to try to get the money in here.
Mm-hmm. Makes a difference. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we definitely want that.
Well,
going
we were
forward.
Pretty clear with them when they came before us that we, you know, we want it timely, and
have you guys gotten back the audit from them yet? The 18-19 audit yet? Have they sent you a copy?
The hard copy? No, we have to finish the. And I'm going to finish that soon once to get some help in here, a clerk. But no, we have to finalize the MD&A, and then we'll send that, and they'll send the hard copies right back.
Yeah, so I don't understand, because it's on the website. So, I mean, will it be different from
it's
you're
on,
saying no?
It's on the website?
Yeah.
On our website?
Our 19?
No, on the LGC website. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've been reluctant to post it on our website because I knew he was going to change the front pages. It does not change the financial statements,
right.
But the intro where he explains some of the things will be different.
Better. No, I said the fund balance looks better. Yeah, it's not good, but it's better.
Well, he's addressed this. He's trying to move on to the other point, I think.
Well, first of all, let's say I'm with Cindy. I'm going to speak with her again because we got a letter or an email in reference to following up making sure that these things are in place. So that, you know, it's kind of, we have to demonstrate that what we say we're doing is what we're doing. And so I'll be working with Cindy to make sure that is completed within the next 30 days. But if, yes, if that is not enough, if you want something above that, we can take a look at, you know, seeing what their needs are, and if they need some assistance, we can try to provide some or get someone here if we can.
I agree with you. And let's face it.
Well,
and the state has responsibility in DSS also, since they put some funds in there also along with us, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And they need to have some accountability here also. I mean, I agree with you.
Have you had a conversation?
Oh, I think they will.
Have you had a conversation with that board chair about this issue and what they can do to assist us from their standpoint?
Recently, no. My conversations have been with Cindy,
okay,
not the board.
Well, that, you know, because they do have that a separate board.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. I think that board needs to be aware of what's happening and what we're trying to do and what the state is mandating for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that board needs to be advised. Right.
Yeah.
But do we have that authority since they have a whole separate board? Yeah, I just think the two boards need to work together, but they need to be advised.
Well, we send them a letter and suggest this. If they don't do it, then we follow through with it.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like we have to say something there when they drag me in there and say I'm supposed to be the one oversighting them. So.
Oh, I agree. We have all the liability with DSS, and our hands are tied because they're part state and they have their own board, and so it's very frustrating, especially when you get phone calls. You know, it's very frustrating.
Yeah, and what scares me is that since we were so late with audit 19,
yeah,
I don't know if they're going to have anything in 20.
It's gonna be there.
You're right, and the water situation will be the same thing also in 20. So when can we meet back again, and you can have us better numbers in reference to the water department and all that, Mr. Vaughn?
I was recently taking a look at our meeting schedule, and as of right now, I don't think, pull it up, but I don't think we have another work session scheduled. Our next meeting is March 15th, and that is a regular meeting, you know, it's at 6 o'clock. So we could take a look at it during at that time, or if you wanted to schedule like a work session sometime soon, because again, we don't have any scheduled. I know we probably will want one scheduled once we start digging into the budget anyway. But as of right now, there is not another work session on our calendar.
All right, so you said March 15th, we had regular commissioner meeting.
Correct.
Did a regular commissioner meeting.
Huh?
Did a regular commissioner meeting.
Mm-hmm. We absolutely can. So okay. If you want to discuss it there, we can work.
Why don't we just meet during the morning at 10 o'clock? Does that look good for you guys?
Make it a work session.
Exactly. Let's just make it a work session.
If there's anything else.
Okay.
Yeah, like we have some extra space up here, right?
So let's change. Okay. Okay. So we'll just change it to the morning meeting, and we'll still have our public comments section and everything there, because that was the only meeting scheduled for March, the March 15th. So you want to change it to March?
Well, we have one.
Go. I'm listening.
Do we have one the 1st of March?
No.
Oh, well, we'll have to have public comments and all that good stuff. Then. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can do that. March 15th, 10 o'clock. I don't foresee that, no, because I mean, it's up to you, girl.
I just was thinking earlier that maybe our next work session we could have in our brand new multi-purpose room at the extension and library building, so we can keep our fingers crossed for that. Yeah, that would be way cool.
Yes, that's.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you have a 6 o'clock commission meeting. Mm-mm.
This is taking the place of the place commission meeting, right?
Okay. So attend the commission. It's a work session meeting.
There's going to be other things discussed, of course, but a main meat of that sandwich on the 15th is going to be Water Department and getting that thing squared away, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So when we end today, we won't meet again until the 15th? Well, that's a long spell.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Where's the water?
Let's send the drone over there and make sure they're there.
We were having a deep discussion about that on yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
The report I done there, I don't know if y'all remember this, we call it my crystal ball report. And I was telling him about it. I said, I got things. So we need to look. I said, this is what this is. I'm going to look at every line item. And I'm going to go through there and grade it out based on the way they spent and project it out, because that's the way they should continue to go.
And it's really important that the supervisors understand, you know, why we're doing it and keep holding their feet to the fire and not, you know, allowing those expenditures to happen.
So, I would like us to have a retreat, a cool day, right? Which is not a public meeting. Everybody kind of does it that way. Nobody else will come with us. And we do a full on planning the next year's budget.
Can you have something and the public not be allowed in? Yes.
I don't know if calling it a retreat. If it's all 5 commissioners are there, I don't know if calling it a retreat.
I'm moving to it. Mark County.
Just because they're doing it, don't make it legal.
I don't know if you get over 3, I mean, or 3 commissioners.
Yeah, it's a meeting. It's a meeting.
Yeah.
I'm not comfortable with us keeping the public.
I don't think it would fit under closed session either, because it's just
the whole transparency thing.
Yeah, I mean, we've had even brief moments where 3 commissioners were in the same spot to talk about something, no voting, nothing, and we had to jump through hoops and back up and apologize and do all kinds of things. It wasn't.
Because it technically qualified as a meeting that needed minutes. It need, you know. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I remember now.
Well, I mean, general statutes are in place for reasons because somebody way back did it.
I'd love to know what they base it on. We can look into it. What counties were those again? I'm gonna call David Bone up in a second if
I know,
but he's not there. Yeah,
I know Burke County did too because I saw some stuff on Facebook that they were getting trashed on Facebook because they had that, and they went out of the county to have theirs. But just because they're doing it, don't make it right. And yeah. Martin Hartford, yeah.
We'll look into it. We'll look into it.
And speaking of the budget, did you put those?
I did.
I just need some clarification. Jody Surrey sent me his budget. And the first budget, and I'm not sure which one you printed, Juan.
The last one.
Okay, so the first budget had no expenditures, just the expenses. And so anyways, we went back and forth. And so this was the final budget that he sent me for his department. And so he's wanting to know if this is what you're looking for so he can take it to the other departments. And do what? Did we discuss an audited budget?
It came up, but what I recall is we said, yes, if they had one to provide it. And in my correspondence, I did say that, you know, provide the latest audit if you have it. And then if not, we said that for the past 3 years, we would like to see all of their revenues and all of their expenditures. But so, yes, an audit was requested if one was available.
Two departments. I think he said Windsor and Orlando because the town gets audited.
Sure. They've got to have an accountant doing 991. Okay? And if they've got that, and there's an audit done by that accountant. Rule is if your revenue is above 50,000, that's right. You have to do it. Require a loss. Right. Do it. That's considered a nonprofit. Above 50,000. Under $50,000?
Mm-hmm.
And when they're getting their tax return on the 990, okay, there's an audit attached in there, okay? It's in there. And it spells out everything. And that is what needs to be done is by their accountant who is doing their taxes. And we don't need tax report. All we need is their... Exactly.
But the 990 is not breaking down.
No, but they would have... a financial audit statement inside there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are they, because they're volunteers, are they exempt from all that? Because
I think they still get to file it. There's money coming and going. I'd do it at YMCA. No.
That's why you do the 990.
Exactly. No, that is a, I know what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
At the YMCA, we're required to have ours done, and then a second CPA go in and look at it and audit what the first one has done.
Okay.
He did not mention having any type of audit. He did say that the Arlander and Windsor had one because the town is audited.
Is there a reason why this?
Good question, Greg.
Because it would reflect the numbers that are presented before us.
It's what? Speak louder.
It reflects the numbers that are presented before us. It's a third party is basically what it is. The CPA has it.
I can't hear you. Ron, I can't hear you.
I said, my understanding is what John said is if you make a nonprofit and you have a problem on 90, the IRS says if you have revenues over $50,000, you have to have an audit statement. Can you file? How do you get around that? Because you have a file. Well, actually, before, I just did one. I got one right here. And it says you have to have you get revenues over $50,000.
And we had to do it at YMCA.
All right.
Well, I don't think it's necessarily all that, but it's all going to be spilled out in that.
See, you pay a personal object.
Exactly.
And you got money from any source over $5,000.
Exactly. You got to identify them.
So, to follow up with him, we're asking for them to have a audited budget that these figures, and the purpose of the audited budget is.
Have fire departments been told anything officially from the county?
Yes, they have.
What were they told?
They were asked, following up from our meeting, you all requested that I send a letter to the fire department asking them for an audit, if they had one, their latest audit. And if not, I told them if it was not available, our discussion was for them to provide the last 3 years, what your total revenues and expenditures were.
Pretty clear. It's not available.
And just to throw this out there for y'all to think about, if these departments are not willing to give us that information, whether it be especially on the revenue side, are we going to withhold any additional funding from them? And are we going to withhold additional funding if there is going to be additional funding? Are we going to hold it against all of the departments or just the ones that don't supply the information to us?
Were you asked that question?
Yes.
You were asked that question?
Yes. Well, I wouldn't come up with it on my own.
Well, I don't know. I'm just asking you a question. You didn't identify it, so I'm just saying. Asking you the question. You were asked that question?
Yes.
I have been asked. The person that asked me wasn't objected to. They were
right.
Given. They were
right.
What happens if you don't? Because they were maybe.
My answer.
Funding, but I said I can't speak for the board, but that would be my guess. You know, yeah.
Well,
my question would be: how could they not do that? And they have a report to North Carolina. Retirement system, you volunteer as a firefighter.
That's right.
For 20 years, uh-huh. You get a pension.
That's right.
So, what, you know, look like me, they have that relationship with RRS, because you need to know who gets a check at the end of the day.
It all comes from your 995.
That's right.
You know, you have to do it. We're giving them money.
Oh, and the individual that asked me about it is on board with that thought process. But all the departments are not on, from what I understand, are not on board. Is that Was that your gathering, Greg, that Commissioner
Atkins? This person was anticipating that all of them may not.
Right.
And sure that they were.
Something to, for future talks. Yeah. So we're going to go back to and ask for the audited, saying that each department should have an audited budget.
I can do that. I mean, I would.
No, we give them 30.
30.
Yeah.
30. Right. Right. And so I said, you know, the letter stated if you had an audit to provide it.
Right.
Well.
Yeah.
That's right.
Like on this budget, it shows the $30,000 in matching grants and then $5,000 in grants. Fundraisers that they've done, and then donations. So,
yeah, it will.
Before we went over the $50,000 rule for the program, we got grants. You can do it off your estimated stuff. Which is just 900, which is just estimate. Mm-hmm. Once you go across 50, nobody will give you anything that you have to pay. Mm-hmm. So that's what's required. Mm-hmm. And you can get a grant if you're not over 50,000. No.
Okay. Well, the budget talks certainly did not take the time that we were thinking, so that I guess that might be a good thing. If you have any questions with what they've given us after you've had time to go through it more thoroughly, please reach out to William or Juan. Is there any other business that needs to come before the board?
I don't have anything else.
Huh? Well, I'll take a motion to adjourn then.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All in favor say aye. Ms. Courtney.
Thank you all. Have a great one.
Thank you.